Well, good morning. Welcome to Journey Church. My name is Scott. I'm one of the pastors here. I just want to be another person to welcome you, especially if this is maybe your first or second time joining us here at Journey Church. I want to just thank you for taking the time out of your Sunday and being in this place with us. We hope to together to have an encounter with Jesus, maybe a little bit of feedback on my microphone, and maybe take some next steps with him. You know, I enjoy it when Keisha comes up and does announcements, although I still hold a grudge against the Steelers because what they did to the Seahawks about 6 or 7 years ago. It's hard to still talk about it, but we do. Keisha talked about being in groups and about connecting, and really at Journey Church, connecting or being connected is one of our values. It's one of the things that we think is very important, that you get connected with people. And really here at Journey Church, there's three ways to do that. Currently, one is to show up here on a Sunday morning, so you've done that, you're connected at least a little bit, you're sitting next to someone. The second would be to join a small group, to get to know a smaller group of people, to be known a little bit better. One thing that I kind of say often is that, like, in a group this size, it's impossible for everyone to know everyone, but everyone can be known by someone, and that really happens in a small group. And then the third way you can get connected is by finding a place to play a part. And maybe coming onto like a serve team. So when you came in, you got a green sheet like this, and it just lists some of the opportunities, the places where you could maybe play a part here in Journey Church. And we truly believe that serving is discipleship, that it's really one of the best ways that we can grow in Christ, because it's one of the things that he set a great example for us in doing. And so we want to give you opportunities to do that. So we'll collect these at the end as you leave today. So if you're like pretending to take notes, like Keisha was saying, or checking scores, or actually filling this thing out, they will collect that on the way out today. But I want to encourage you to consider those things prayerfully. Think about, like, if this is your church, if you come into Journey Church, and you're like, this is my home, then I really strongly encourage you to check out where you might be able to play a part. And it'd be exciting to see you do that. Well, we're just kind of in the middle to towards the end of a series we're calling Breaking Busy. And really in this series, Breaking Busy, we're trying to find like this real life, this fruitful life that God intends for us. A few weeks ago, I talked about how we can really break busy together. And I kind of gave a few ideas of how you could do that. We could recharge together, we could serve together, and we could eat together. And that the idea that it's really together that we'll get there. It's a concept or a mantra that we've used here from the beginning of Journey Church, that together we'll get there. And at the end of my sermon 2 weeks ago, I mentioned the idea of maybe even sharing some of your moments of breaking busy by using the hashtag Breaking Busy. And so I got online and I made my way to Instagram and I typed in the search of hashtag Breaking Busy. And as I did this picture, I found this picture that came up. And I was like, yes, look at these ladies. They're breaking busy. They're recharging together. They're eating together. And then I looked at the picture a little closer and I said, none of them go to my church. I don't know anybody up there. But I think Simply Ann 22, I think she could really help you out. If you just, you might want to follow her. Don't tell her I said that. But it would be pretty cool if she got like 15, 20 new followers. I did like this photo. It could be kind of entertaining. But that's what I'm hoping for us, partly, is that we could be breaking busy together, eating together, recharging together, and serving together. Well, last week, Liz Simmons shared just a great message on Sabbath. On making or taking time for communion with God. And she did a great job, and if you weren't here, I encourage you to get on our website and take a listen, because she really did a great job of engaging our minds, of touching our hearts, but then also giving us something tangible, like some handles that we can use with our hands as we're talking about Sabbath and we're talking about like the Word of God. So I encourage you to check that out. And it was really timely for me and my family. In fact, Natasha and I went home that after Sunday. We just started talking about like Sabbathing and resting and the need for that. In fact, it was the week after, the day after, I shared the first message in the series on Breaking Busy, that I had the craziest busy day and week that followed it. And it was just nuts. We just spent the whole week rushing and chasing and following and meeting and practices and piano and dinner and everything else in between. It was just extremely crazy busy. In fact, we got to the end of that week, and I'd asked my daughter, Allie, I was talking about this activity maybe she could sign up for. She goes, Dad, my plate's just too full. I was like, oh, she's 11. She didn't even have like a Google calendar. So I don't know if she's crazy busy yet. But the thing is, I had talked with a lot of people the last couple weeks. I was like, how you doing? And I just said, you know, it's just been this transition into fall. And I feel like what I've said often is like, well, it's just the fall. I mean, when you come back to school starts and get back into the routine and all this stuff, it's just always going to be crazy busy. That's just the way it is. That's just the way life is. And so why even have a series on breaking busy if crazy busy is really just the way it's supposed to be, or at least just the way it is? Well, even though it's the way it is, I don't really believe that it's the way that God intended it to be. I don't believe it's the fruitful life that God intends for us. Now, a few weeks ago when I talked, I shared this idea that that breaking busy is more than simply like identifying all of the crazy in our life, or even trying to cut out like all the crazy in our life. But in fact, breaking busy, I said it was about prioritizing the important and identifying and adding in what gives life, what recharges souls, and what restores capacity. But here's the thing that I think we're going to touch on today is that we can't cut out every crazy commitment, and we can't add every life-giving opportunity. You see, we can't cut out everything that we're committed to, that anything that drives us crazy or makes us crazy or makes us crazy busy. But we also can't add in every single life-giving activity that refreshes us and recharges us and restores us to full capacity. And so like the question that we'll talk about today, and I hope for it help us navigate just a little bit, is how do we say like yes or no to these commitments, to these opportunities? Because every day we have an opportunity to decide, are we gonna make a commitment to a certain activity, to a certain relationship, to a Bible study, or an opportunity to help, or to serve, or even like I just said, to come and play a part at Journey Church. All of these are commitments that bombard us every single day. There's a place that where we can commit and give our time and our efforts and our energies and our resources. We always have those opportunities, and they come on the heels of expectations. Like we all have expectations that are maybe pushed or put upon us. Some of them we put upon ourselves. Some of the expectations that we experience are ones that maybe other people put on us. Expectations in our home, with our family, expectations at school or at work. We have expectations even within our own society or culture. We have expectations for men. We have expectations for women. We have expectations for kids. And we all have these high and great expectations that have been put on us. And yet we know that we can't do and we can't be everything that's expected of us. There's just no possible way that we could do or be everything that's expected of us. And so this morning, we're going to just talk about how do we know whether to say yes or no to some of the things that we would maybe commit ourselves to doing. And the hard part of this is that there's not always like a clear right or wrong answer to this. Like you can't just say, oh, yes, I should commit to this, and no, I shouldn't commit to that. I get asked every year if I will coach my son's soccer team. I've said no 3 years in a row. Might be because he was second grade, but it's because it didn't feel like it was the right time, the right season, or for whatever. And some people like think might say, well, that you should have done that. It's your son. It's your opportunity to coach soccer. It's the opportunity to serve and to be the light of Christ. And then others say, no, you're going to be crazy busy, and you're just going to be playing crazy because you're working with second graders. But it's not a right or wrong answer to that. And so how do we know whether to say yes or whether to say no? So if you brought a Bible, I encourage you to open it to Ephesians chapter 5. We're going to look at a short passage, 5 verses in 5, starting at verse 15. If you didn't bring a Bible but you brought a smartphone, you can open up to the YouVersion Bible app and find our event on there, and the words will be up on the screen as well. So here it is, Ephesians 5, verses 15 through 20. And here's what it says. It says, so be careful how you live. Don't live like fools, but like those who are wise. Make the most of every opportunity in these evil days. Don't act thoughtlessly, but understand what the Lord wants you to do. Don't be drunk with wine, because that will ruin your life. Instead, be filled with the Holy Spirit, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs among yourselves, and making music to the Lord in your hearts. And give thanks for everything to God the Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. So in the beginning of this passage, Paul says, so be careful how you live. Now the word live, as Paul used it, maybe it could also be translated as walk. In fact, if you look at a different version, the ESV version, it says, look carefully then how you walk. Now I heard this explained this way the other day. That it was said that if you have a large dog and a small yard, you know exactly what Paul is talking about right here. When he says, look carefully how you walk. That took you a while. But it's so true that, if you have a large dog in a small yard, you're very careful with how you walk and the steps that you take, because you know that where you step, it matters. And you know that kind of what you do when you're walking out there, that it matters. You know, we don't walk through life blindly, as if those steps, they don't matter. That where we go or what we do, what we say or don't say, as if these things, they don't matter. But we watch our step, and we step carefully. Because what happens today, the decisions that happen today, the decisions we make today, they will impact tomorrow. They will make a difference tomorrow. I read another survey the other day. It was actually this lady, her name is Ellen Belinsky. And it was actually years ago that she did this survey. It was called the Ask the Kids or Ask the Children survey. And so she asked a great number of kids. I don't know the number. I'll just say 500. That sounds like a good number. But she asked all of these kids a number of questions, and there was a few interesting questions that were related to their parents. One of those questions was this. It says, what was one thing they would change about the way their parents' work was affecting them? The way that their parents' work was affecting their parents. And the response that the kids overwhelmingly said was they wished their parents were less tired and less stressed. Now, in the same survey, the kids were grading their parents, and the men and the women, they both averaged, moms and dads averaged about a B. That's all right. What did they say? C's get degrees? So it's like a B is pretty good. So they were averaging a B, and when it came to remembering important events or making the kids feel special, the parents all got A's. But most parents got a C, a D, or an F. In this one area, it said more than 40% of the kids gave their parents C, D, or F in controlling their anger. Now, in the study or in the survey, they didn't make a direct correlation between the stressfulness or busyness or tiredness and anger. But if you have kids, or if you've been a child, you've probably seen the effects of residual stress in a family. The great example for me is when I go on vacation with my family, I rarely get upset. I mean, as long as I can have at least a 30-minute nap each day on my vacation, everything else is just lucky charms. But when I'm experiencing crazy busy and my stress level increases and my tiredness increases, then I'm much more likely to get upset for silly things, loud kids being loud or a mess on the floor, and it's the correlation of that residual stress becomes very real. And so Paul would say, so be careful how you live. And I would maybe change that, or not change the word of God, but I would just say, be careful what you commit to. We're talking about whether or not to commit to things, saying yes or no to what we commit to. So be careful what you commit to, because what you commit to today will have an impact on you and possibly others tomorrow. So Paul continues on. He says, don't live like fools, but like those who are wise. You see, foolishness, it comes in a number of flavors. And walking carelessly, like in your backyard, if you have a big dog in a small yard, that would be foolish. Right? So foolishness comes in a lot of flavors, and wisdom is similarly, it's the opposite. It's the capacity to have good judgment. It's the ability to make good and just and wise and wisdom decisions. It's really, I think, for us as followers of Christ and what we see in Scripture is that wisdom actually provides for us a framework for making decisions, that we can use wisdom. In fact, in Proverbs 4, 5 through 7, it says, get wisdom. He says, get understanding. Do not forget my words or turn away from them. Do not forsake wisdom, and she will protect you. Love her, and she will watch over you. The beginning of wisdom is this: get wisdom. Though it cost all you have, get understanding. So as I presented this idea of, like, let's talk about whether we say yes or we say no to our commitments, you were probably hoping that I would give you something a little more concrete than wisdom. Like, you're probably saying, no, let's create a list. Say yes to this and say no to that. But I'm just kind of pointing you to wisdom. You know, James, in chapter 1 of James, he says this. He says, if any of you lack wisdom, he says you should ask God for it, and he will give it. You see, in this passage, in this short section thing, Paul is giving us a framework, and he was giving them a framework for walking carefully. And really for us, in our context, walking carefully means like making like decisions about how we're going to be busy and what we're committing to. It might have been different in Paul's day, but for us, this is a significant part of everyday life, like deciding what it is that we're going to commit to. And he gives us kind of this framework that we might look like those or walk like those or live like those who are wise. Now, I have a great question that you can ask yourself as you're trying to maybe make some decisions. I got this from Andy Stanley, a pastor, and he's written a number of books. And he says this. He says, this is a question for us to use. He says, in light of my past experiences, or my past experience, my current situation, and my future hopes and dreams, what is the wise thing for me to do? So in light of all the things that have happened in my past, in light of all the things that I'm currently going through in my life, and then in light of where I believe I'm going and where I believe God is leading me to, what is the wise thing for me to do? And I would add on to that what Paul talks about later in the same passage when he says, and what the Lord wants you to do. Like, I would add that, what the Lord wants you to do, onto the end of that question. But what I'm going to give you today is like four questions you can kind of be asking as you're trying to figure out, is this a commitment for me? Is this a commitment I should make? So the first question is this: is this commitment the wise thing to do? Is it the wise thing to do? And we'll kind of continue to discover that. In verse 16, Paul goes on, he says, make the most of every opportunity in these evil days. Now, if you look at the King James version of this verse, he says, redeem the time. Man, I just love the way that sounds, that we would redeem the time. And that means to take the time that we have, which we all know is limited. I mean, we all know we have a limited amount of time, 24 hours in a day. It's the same for you. It's the same for me. But take that, what we have, the time we have, and make the most of it. Now, this is more than simply time management. It's more than learning to multitask, and it's more than like syncing up Google Calendars, right? This isn't like a strategy, but it's more of maybe a lifestyle that we're choosing to accept. And in this verse, the word that gets translated opportunity, it was translated time in the King James Version. I think it's best understood to us as a season. As a season. Like Paul is saying to seize the season, to grab hold of this stretch of time and to embrace this opportunity. And why would we want to do that? Why would we want to grab hold of this stretch of time? Or why would we want to embrace this season, this opportunity that we find ourselves in? Well, for one, we don't get to go back in time. As much as I love the movie Back to the Future, it's just, I don't think it works. We can't go back. Like, college students, enjoy your time because you don't get to go back like to your college years. It was a fantastic season. But those who just left, or those of us who've been gone for a while, man, sometimes we wish we could just go back. Some of you are crying right now as I say that. Parents, like, we can't go back to when our kids were babies. We might not want to, but we can't. Like even if we remember just how cute and how fun they were and all the noises that they made, we just can't go back. Like, we can't go back and play high school sports anymore. We can't go back and go on our first date again. We just can't go back. And so we need to seize the opportunity. We need to seize the season. We need to grab hold of this stretch of time that we find ourselves in. So that's kind of one reason why we would make the most of this opportunity. The other is because Paul says that these days are evil. These evil days. Now, when we look at that, the word that Paul used there, it certainly means like bad, and it certainly means wicked. But when you look at the way it's described, like this Greek word that he used, I want you to listen to the definition, that like the third definition. It says, full of labors, annoyances, hardships, pressed and harassed by labors, a time full of peril to Christian faith and steadfastness. I mean, if you listen to that, full of labors, annoyances, hardships, pressed and harassed by labors. I mean, that sounds like crazy busy to me. It sounds like crazy. I'm not saying being crazy and busy is evil, but I just thought it was interesting that when he talks about evil, that there's this idea of being pressed by our labors and annoyed by our hardships, that fits in there somewhere. And I've heard this said before in church, and maybe in seems like something you'd hear in a church, somewhere not in Oregon. But it says, if the devil can't make you bad, he'll make you busy. If the devil can't make you bad, he'll make you busy. So the second question to add is this commitment making the most, or is this commitment making it worse? I mean, if I'm saying yes to this commitment, am I making most of this season, this opportunity, or am I just simply making things worse? Verse 17, Paul says, don't act thoughtlessly, but understand what the Lord wants you to do. He's saying, don't live or act as if things don't matter, as if like the things and decisions and commitments we're making right now, as if they don't matter, as if what happens in this season won't impact the next. As if crazy busy right now won't cause chaos later, tomorrow, next week, next month. But instead, make your decisions and choose your commitments carefully, with thought and with wisdom. And then understanding what the Lord wants you to do. Now, if you were here like 3 weeks ago, we were in a series, we were talking about focus. We looked at a passage that it was in one of the Gospels, I think it might have been in Mark, where Jesus is in this village and he's doing all these miracles. He's healing people. He's doing all the things that he was uniquely equipped and designed to do. And yet he stopped and he said, you know, it's time to go to the next village. He stopped doing miracles and healing people. And there were more people to heal and to help. And yet he understood that he had other places to go. He understood what the Lord wanted him to do, and that it wasn't necessarily right here. Not that right here was bad or he couldn't do that anymore, but he had to go and do what the Lord wanted him to do. And so the question, how do we know? And how do we know what the Lord wants us to do? And we'll kind of maybe even get there in a minute when we start talking about the Holy Spirit a little bit, but it's a hard question. But I think, I know at least in my own experience, like 90% of the time, I know exactly what I'm supposed to do. I know exactly what the Lord wants me to do. I just sometimes choose the opposite. I kind of choose what maybe I want to do. I kind of choose what maybe feels best to me. And I don't take the time to pray. I don't take the time to listen like discerningly to what the Holy Spirit would say to me. Instead, I just choose to kind of make my own decision. But Paul says, like, don't act thoughtlessly, but think about it, consider it, and then, man, do what the Lord wants you to do. And so the question that you would ask of that is this commitment what the Lord wants you to do? Is this a commitment that the Lord is pointing you towards? And again, that's not always easy to discern, but verse 18, then Paul says, don't be drunk with wine, because that will ruin your life. Now, this just seems random. Like, right? I mean, we're just kind of, all of a sudden, Paul tosses out this random rule, just like the kibosh on the wine, right? But I believe that what Paul is doing here is he's giving us an example of that what we choose or decide today can have an impact on tomorrow. That the decisions we make today will have an impact in the days ahead. You see, getting drunk, it's a byproduct of overdoing it on alcohol, right? It's a byproduct of that. And the decision that we make, or the decision that's made to overdo it on alcohol, it will have an impact on tomorrow. It could have a significant or destructive, he says it will ruin your life. It could have a destructive impact on your tomorrow. And literally, it could have a destructive impact on someone else's tomorrow. I mean, I think that's what Paul is really trying to tell us there, is that this decisions we make, and he's giving a really straightforward, and certainly straightforward for us, example, that the decision we make to get drunk or to overdo it on wine could have a significant impact on tomorrow. But it's interesting that I don't, like, wine isn't the problem. I mean, if you go back to the culture and the context for Paul and the people who are reading this letter, these people, wine was just a safer beverage to drink. Water was not clean. Water was, I mean, if it sat too long, you were going to get sick. And so wine was an option that they could drink and not get sick. And so it wasn't like he was just saying, don't drink wine, but he's very clear, don't get drunk on wine. Wine wasn't the problem. Overdoing it on wine was. Overconsuming the wine was. And getting drunk on wine was the problem. Now the reality for us, the reality is that we can get drunk on a whole lot of things. That sounds pretty funny. But I'm not talking like a whole bunch of like weird things. But we can get drunk on activities. We can get drunk on work. We can get drunk on power. We can get drunk on Facebook. Just the feeding the need, right, that we have to either to be loved or to work hard, to be accepted or to be successful. We can get drunk on all of these different things. And busyness is really just another thing that we can get drunk on, that we can overdo, and we can do in excess that would have maybe a destructive impact on our tomorrow, a destructive impact on those maybe who are around us. If we don't walk carefully, it could ruin our life. Now, so I hesitated to even say this, but so I've only been drunk one time, and I hesitate to tell you this because my parents aren't here today. So typically, they sit up there. So I'm whispering. Because I was in high school. And I'm not afraid, but I think they would maybe try to ground me if they found out about it. So we're just going to keep this between us. But here's the thing, is I had got drunk one time in high school. And I'm not trying to make light of this in any form or fashion necessarily. But here's all that I remembered. Or all that I remember now is, I'm not going to tell how many years ago it was. You can tell me later, and that's how much I like you. All I remember is that in those moments, I was not functioning at my best. I remember getting really sick afterwards. And I wrote down the third thing because I thought it was significant. And I remember that overdoing it the night before definitely had a negative impact on the next day. In fact, overdoing it in that way, it really left me feeling just a load of regret. Now, this maybe isn't like the best, you know, analogy or illustration to use when we're talking about busyness. But here's the thing: is if when I overdo it on busy, when I get crazy busy, and I end up getting like mad at my kids for nothing, or my wife and I don't even have time to talk at the end of the night. Like, I feel myself exiting those seasons with more regret than gratitude. And that's kind of the destructive nature of overdoing anything, is that we end up with more regret than gratitude. And so I think in this part, Paul is just saying, man, don't get drunk on wine, because it can ruin your life. What you do today, what you decide today, the commitments you make today, they're going to impact tomorrow. And so, like, be careful. And so the question related to this is this commitment overdoing it? By choosing to commit to this thing, am I going over the top? Will this create kind of a crazy busy? And understand that in all of this, I'm not trying to tell you to stop doing everything. I'm not telling you to try to start doing everything. But use the wisdom that God gives you by what he says next. He says, instead, be filled by the Holy Spirit. So don't get drunk on wine, which can ruin your life, but instead, be filled with the Holy Spirit. Instead of overdoing it on busyness, how about we overdo it on the Holy Spirit? How about we get filled to overflowing? Because that when he says, be filled with the Holy Spirit, it's really, I think, in the present imperative that it was written. So it could actually be better translated by say, be being filled. Be continually filled. Be filled and then be filled again. Be filled till it abounds. Be filled until you are overflowing with the Holy Spirit. It's not like just a one-time thing. It's, well, I pray a prayer, I accept Jesus, I'm filled with the Holy Spirit, and then I'm good to go for the rest of my life. But no, it's a continual refilling and a refreshing. It's a breathing in of God's presence into your life, even like as we talked about in the Sabbath. In Luke chapter 13, Jesus is teaching, chapter 11, he's teaching all of his disciples to pray. And he says at the end, he says, so if you who are evil, if you who are bad, he's talking to his disciples, if you are just men, if you know how to give good gifts to your own children, then just think about the good gifts that your Father would give to you. And he even says, who would give you the Holy Spirit if you ask him. Who would give you the Holy Spirit if you ask him. It's like if we're going to be filled with the Holy Spirit, we need to ask him, and not just one time. It's like, Lord, man, fill me with your Spirit. Come and overwhelm me by your presence. Like, surround me in your glory, in your Spirit, with Jesus. And in John 15, Jesus says this. He says that I am the vine and you are the branches. If you would remain in me and I in you, then you would bear much fruit. But apart from me, you will do nothing. And it's exactly related to what we're talking about with the Holy Spirit. Because when we are remaining in Christ, we're connected to him like a vine would be connected to a branch. And the Holy Spirit is flowing. The presence of Jesus is flowing from that our connection with him into us. And when we are connected and filled with the Holy Spirit, we're making decisions that are having a positive impact on our future. It makes all the difference. It changes everything. You see, when we're crazy busy, I know this is for me, and I'm just going to overgeneralize it and say it's for all of us. We don't often remain in Christ. We start to do things on our own strength instead of on the strength that we have given to us by the Holy Spirit. We don't remain in him, and we simply just try to fit maybe a little bit of Jesus in. I mean, like in the morning, I got 5 minutes. I'll listen to a podcast. I got 2 minutes, or I'll say a quick prayer. We've kind of fit Jesus in to our life instead of just simply being with him. You see, breaking busy begins by simply being with Jesus, by being filled with his Holy Spirit. I read this quote from Kevin DeYoung this week, and it said this. It says, crazy busy isn't wrong. What's wrong is to live a life with more craziness than we want because we have less Jesus than we need. So this is a question that won't be up there, but how are you being filled? Are you being filled with Jesus? Are you being filled with the Holy Spirit? Are you making that time to connect relationally and personally with him? At the end of this passage, Paul says this. He says, and give thanks for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. You see, he ends this passage by saying, give thanks for everything. Give thanks for the busy and give thanks for the boring. Give thanks for the time of rest and give thanks for the time to race. Give thanks for the season that we're in and give thanks for the season that maybe we're heading towards or maybe he's leading us into. You see, we can give thanks to God for everything when we surrender everything to him. We can give thanks to God for everything when we surrender everything to him. When we surrender all of our commitments, all of our life, all of our decisions to him. Like I said earlier, there aren't really any right or wrong answers to like whether or not to commit to something. And sometimes, I mean, if it's sin, like, it's pretty clear, like, you shouldn't do it. But often, it was just no right or wrong answer. It's like, should I do this, or should I commit to this, or should I not? But there is a way that is better. And there is a way that kind of responds, or a way that we respond when we are surrendered to God. And we break busy when our commitments reflect our surrender to God. Because the reality is that often, like, our commitments, they will reflect who or what we're surrendered to. The God that we're worshiping at that moment. But we can break busy when our commitments reflect the one that we're surrendering to. I'm going to invite the worship team to come back up. And as I do, I want to invite you to stand with me. I want to kind of just read this short prayer kind of over us. And if it's one that maybe reflects or resonates with you, you can pray it in your mind. It'll be up on the screen. I'm going to just close with this prayer. It's kind of an old Puritan prayer, apparently. It says this. It says, "Turn my heart from vanity, from distractions, from uncertainties of the present state, to an eternal interest in Christ. Let me remember that life is short and unforeseen and is only an opportunity for usefulness. Give me a holy avarice to redeem the time, to awake at every call to charity that is love and piety that is godliness, so that I may feed the hungry, clothe the naked, instruct the ignorant, reclaim the vicious, forgive the offender, diffuse the gospel, show neighborly love to all. Let me live a life of self-distrust, dependence on thyself, which is thy spirit, mortification, crucifixion, and prayer." Amen. I think sometimes, at least for me, I come up with a lot of reasons, like excuses for my business. I blame a lot of other people, or my job, or like my kids, like all the sports, or just work, or like having to, you know, meet or whatever. I come up with all sorts of excuses, but the reality is, I mean, we each get a choice. I mean, we all have decisions and commitments that we get to say yes or no to. We have opportunities to surrender our commitments to God in a way that would bring more glory to Him, in ways that would exalt Him in our everyday. So I'd be praying for wisdom, for me and for you in the days ahead. And then as we leave today, as we leave this place, and we leave what we feel like is the presence of God, the reality is we're taking the presence of God into our commitments, into the things that we do this week and in the days ahead. So I'll be praying for you and blessing you as you do that. And I want to encourage you again, if you were challenged, like, to commit to something. I know, another commitment, but one with a significant impact and part of doing it together. I'd encourage you to check the box and drop it on your way out, and have a great week, and we'll see you next Sunday.